Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us as we kick off a new week of broadcasting about politics and drinking a cup of coffee while we're doing it. Boy, today's going to be a big one. Because as we speak, the circus in the U.S. House of Representatives on impeachment continues. Now, there's a tie-in with this and a great question for one of our listeners. And I'm going to share that with you because I think it is important that we figure out where we're headed. Not only this country, friends, but where we as conservatives are headed in our ability to influence our world. And it relates to the second thing that's going to happen today. Oh, yeah, the House impeachment hearing is going to kick off any moment now, literally any moment now. But later in the day, this Inspector General's report for the Department of Justice is going to, it's going to release this report, and who knows what it really says. My guess is it probably has some really damning, ugly stuff in it, but probably doesn't go as far as what we expect would happen when the U.S. Attorney John Durham's report is released, whenever it is released, which probably leads to prosecution, and should, about this whole silent coup mess and who's really responsible for it. The question, though, is raised by one of our listeners. And it's an interesting question to contemplate because it's not just for what are we as conservatives going to do in the future. But frankly, how are we going to react if things don't work out the way we thought they would? Are we just going to slink away like we normally do with our tail between our legs? Or are we going to stand and fight? Now, this extends right down to everything that is coming at the next legislative session here in February. It's not just what's happening in Washington, D.C., folks. But it's what's going to happen in this state. How do we fight effectively against cap and trade, for instance, which is going to be rammed down our throat, likely in the upcoming session in February? My prediction to you that unless the Republicans in the House and the Senate, which have very limited power still, right, unless they actually walk away and not allow the session to continue, and frankly, I think they would. I think they would have every opportunity to do that, and I think they should. Unless they do that, this thing, this cap and trade, this job destroying, rural Oregon destroying, and that's really what it's going to do. This policy is going to get passed. Because Kate, believe me, folks, Kate is a very smart politician. Yes, she may be revenge oriented in her mind, but don't you ever underestimate that woman. Yes, and I use the word woman. Oh, I know. We're in the transgender age where the state of Oregon has to refer to they, them, it. I'm going to call her a woman. At any rate, here's the question. The question from the listener relates to all of this. The left's anger at not just Trump, folks. It's far deeper than that. What are we going to do with their anger? The anger of the left. How do we respond to it? And then a secondary question that I got to considering based on this email, and it's really what it is. It is an email from one of our great listeners. I got to thinking about this. What do we do with our anger? And are they the same? And are the tactics in dealing with anger, are they possible to be utilized effectively right here in Oregon, right here by each and every one of us? What do we do with the left's anger that's on full display in so many ways? What do we do with it? How do we respond? And why are they angry? And I'm telling you, it is far deeper than just Donald Trump. He really has exposed the left's anger and their agendas. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's far beyond just the crazy left, folks. It's the politicians, and frankly, it's the news media. How do we deal with it all? How do we deal with it in terms of being able to respond to it in a way that advances and moves forwards our conservative Judeo-Christian values in our principles? And I do mean move forward, friends, as opposed to, again, just playing defense. You know, yesterday, of course, was a football Sunday, and by the way, congrats to the University of Oregon Ducks for winning a tough game on Friday night. If you watched it, they're going to be playing in the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin, which lost yesterday to Ohio State. Lost Monday or Saturday, rather. I'll get it right. Anyway, kudos to the Ducks. My point is that this is football season, professionally and certainly with the college ranks. Do you score on defense? Now, last night, the Seahawks just played horrible football, but they managed to score on defense. They didn't do a very good job scoring on offense. But most of the time, you win any kind of competitive athletics by doing what? By going on offense. So when I say, what can we do to advance? How can we use the anger of the left to advance, score points, go on offense? What can we do? Which is far deeper. I mean, if you think about the realities, you know, it's great to watch football games, great to watch basketball, baseball, whatever you're into. But how does that really impact your life compared to the things that are happening around you that control everything you do? I mean, really do control the things you do. They're not the same, are they? And they shouldn't be considered to be the same. They're not on the same playing field. Because they don't impact your life the same way. So dealing with the left's anger, I mean, do you do it? I think it's a mistake to rely on, you know, this great economic surge that we're having as being able to blunt it, or frankly, being able to be a persuasive argument as to why they shouldn't be angry at Trump. Because, friends, it's more than angry at Trump. It's deeper than that. And I don't think that we can rely. In fact, it was a mistake for the Republicans to rely on the so-called tax cut that they passed to blunt the negatives against Trump that the Democrats skillfully used in 2018 in the elections. And they did. They used it very skillfully. It's not enough because it runs deeper than that. It is deeper than that. And this has been going on a very, very long time. Because it is a belief through what has been passed down now through, well, at least a generation of public high school teachers that have been educated to believe in the leftist socialist mentality. Not all of them, I know, because we've got some fantastic teachers out there in public schools. But there is a group of them that adamantly believe in things like man-made climate change and that the Earth only has so many years left. This has been going on for a long time. One of our great listeners is Betty. Betty used to be a Marion County commissioner. She's a prolific writer. And she went back into her archives in the email to talk about, in an email she sent to me, to talk about these things that have been going on from the left, especially when it comes to the issues of climate change. Clear back into the late 80s, folks. I'm quite serious. You see, this has... Remember back in the 70s, there were these stories about the coming ice age. Some of the people that are mentioned in those stories, the quote-unquote scientists, reversed themselves shortly thereafter. Started talking about the coming climate catastrophe. Well, Betty has cataloged so much of that stuff. All right. So it's obvious that this climate change nonsense is coming from somewhere, whether it is a coming ice age or it's a coming climate disaster where the polar ice caps are going to melt and the seas are going to rise and we only have so many years to save the Earth. Where is this coming from, friends? And why is it being used in the manner that it is today to create anger, to create fear? Now, don't we have some of that on our side, too? So how does the left deal with our anger? What happened when the Tea Party movement evolved? And it was a true Tea Party movement. What happened when Timber Unity exploded? Nobody saw that coming. I didn't. What happened when those things happened? What does the left do? How do they deal with it? And are those the same tactics that we should use? Are they? Are those the right things to do? The same way that the... Because the left today is utilizing Saul Alinsky's tactics. And it's what Obama did. You remember, folks, Obama was an absolute devotee of Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky was this writer who spent a lot of time hanging around with the mob in the 50s in Chicago and wrote a book called Rules for Radicals and dedicated, as you know, to Lucifer, the first radical. This is the Bible of what Obama did. And this is the Bible of what the radical left Antifa folks, but even others now, are utilizing on the left. They deal with our anger and our movement when we stand up differently than we deal with them. Now, I'm going to get into all of this when we come back from the break here. You're listening to Political Coffee. This is important stuff because this is going to impact everything you care about for the rest of your life. And frankly, for the rest of your kids' lives, your grandkids' lives. And it's all tied in to not just what's happening in Washington, D.C., but what's going to happen and what is happening right here in Oregon. 503-589-1220. The Power of Buick GMC Talk Line, 503-589-1220. Emails always to Jeff, 1220.am. Back in a moment. Don't go away. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. Politics with coffee, folks. It's important. Usually, you know, when you're drinking a cup of coffee, you're trying to wake up, clear the fog, or you're being a little bit of contemplative in conversation with others. That's why it's the perfect opportunity to talk about politics, stuff that really impacts your life. And believe me, it does. In a postscript, by the way, to our interview with Scott Roeter, my Jewish conservative friend, who expanded upon Michael Savage's point about that Donald Trump is being crucified by Jews. And Scott's point is that Jews are in control of it. And not that they are just our Sanhedrin, but it's the deep state, coupled with the deep state of the government bureaucracy, the intelligence community, and others. And that the major news media and so many institutions, along with these Democrat committee chairmen, they are Jews. Now, those are Scott Roeter's words. He wrote about it in his blog, and you can read it, because I've got an email from Dwight about this, and I think this is important. And I'll get back to the subject at hand in a moment, friends, but I think it's important to follow up on this. You can read, by the way, Scott's his missive on all of this, which he has updated. You can read it if you go to lessgovisthebestgov.com/blog. It's America's Time of Troubles. I told him he ought to relabel it. You know, American Sanhedrin, the deep state. Anyway, Dwight sent me an email about it. He said, I really appreciate your sharing Scott Roeter's America's Time of Troubles article on Friday's show. It's not only very well written, but it illustrates the division of the Jewish community on the impeachment question. The very same division that many other factions of American life are now experiencing. And then he goes on to talk about his, which I've mentioned before in prior emails, his former business associate, who is a Jewish rabbi down in L.A., who is a big Donald Trump supporter. And in fact, that he and his friend, who still talk by phone, the Jewish rabbi, have talked about this witch hunt, and that it is similar to the crucifixion of Jesus. I think that what's important here is that if somebody like this Jewish rabbi is drawing that comparison, what I have always found it astonishing is that so many Jewish people in America are liberals, even though America stands firmly and has stood firmly for Israel for a long time. Many of them do not like Israel. That I don't get at all. But it's what I've been told time and time again by Jews. I don't understand it. To this day, I don't understand it. At any rate, I think it's important that this is a piece of the puzzle of how we can persuade the persuadables, especially if that persuadable person happens to be Jewish. Now, if you have a Jewish friend or a business associate or somebody you work with that is an out-loud far leftist person, probably you're going to be not able to be much persuasive with them. But if there's somebody who is persuasive, who's Jewish, this might be an interesting thing to talk about. Donald Trump being crucified by the same people and for the same reasons. That's what Michael Savage talked about. That's Scott Roeter's piece. Isn't it interesting? What an opportunity to open up conversation. All right, so we're going to get back to the subject at hand in a moment, but I need to get to the phones. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to jeff@1220.am. Let's go to Art. Art, good morning, brother. What do you have to say today?
Good morning, Jeff. Hey, there are good and bad in every religion, whether it be Jewish, Christians, et cetera, Jeff. I think that has definitely been going on forever. And the one word that comes to mind is hypocrites. And all religions have hypocrites, the Jewish, Christians, et cetera, et cetera. So where it is a valid point, I think it needs to be addressed in all of the religions and not just the Jewish religion. You and I both know of one really proactive Jewish person, Dennis Prager, who gets it all. But anyways, on that subject, but let me talk about the climate change thing, because you said what's driving this? And it's
Art, can you speak closer to your phone or something?
Oh, sorry.
Because your volume is, you're fading in and out.
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay. Well, with the climate thing, it's like the mighty dollar. You know, these people who are creating this controversy receive federal grants, money to study all this stuff, which really isn't happening. And if to keep the money flowing in, they got to have this controversy, Jeff. So money and all that is what's driving this climate change thing. And it actually needs to stop. And we need good science, not lousy science, which a lot of times these liberal climate people, you know, say things that aren't really true, as you know.
Well, and that's been proven to be true. They're cooking the books, and they're not being honest with us. Art, got to let you go, because we are at the end of this half hour. And I'm going to ask you to hang on through the bottom of the hour break here, because I want to hear what you have to say about all this. It's absolutely true. The fact that Art's bringing up, but Betty has long, since the 80s, she's been writing about the climate change boogeyman. There's a reason they're doing it, folks. It relates to today's subject, but how do we deal with their anger and their heat back and forth?
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to go to Ann. So what do we do with their anger? That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the left's anger. Okay? What do we do with it? How do we use it to persuade the persuadables and start moving people to believing the right things? The right things about what? About politics. Because it impacts every area of your life. In fact, it is more important than anything else, really, that you're engaged with doing. I know that's hard to believe, but it's the truth. Because everything in your life is being impacted by politics. And there are people who really believe that America is wrong and that it has to be changed, radically transformed, like Obama talked about, right? And the tactics they use are the tactics that we should use. The left is very angry, very angry. But aren't we angry sometimes too? Are they the same things? Do the same tactics to deal with them. Are they successful? Will they work? Will they work to move people? I don't think they're the same. Let's go to Ann, who's on the line. Ann, thanks for hanging over through the bottom of the hour break. What do you say this morning?
Good morning, Jeff. I was, you know, the environmentalist and the climate change and all this stuff, we got to remember that some of these people that are liberal left, they, number one, are not loyal to America. They are loyal to their power, their control, and they're globalist. And I hear people, you know, talking sometimes on the radio in different places saying, well, if things get tough in Oregon, I'm just going to move somewhere else. The problem is eventually there's not going to be anywhere to move to, and we're going to have to make a stand somewhere. And there's tons of people moving into Montana and Idaho and Wyoming in large numbers, thinking, oh, we can escape, you know, from what's going on in Oregon. But I'm going to share some information. In Montana and Wyoming, there is a company called Prairie Dog Reserve, or PDR. And under the disguise of environmental protection of the prairie dog, they have bought up thousands of acres of land, including ranches and buildings. And their goal is to have connecting land from Canada to the Yellowstone. And all of this is for a prairie dog. Jeff, I see all kinds of red flags on this one. You know, ranchers in Montana no longer have water rights of their properties, as they are required to report their water usage of who's using it and how many cattle they are running. And in Oregon, a gravel company had to install a meter on their own pond to monitor and report their usage. And this is just one more element of our rights being taken away and part of their long-time agenda under environment. They want to take away private industry and private ownership so they can initiate a socialist dictatorship. And also this climate change environmental whole thing that, you know, debacle, phony thing that's going on, is that this is a foundation of the right, I mean, of the left liberal voter bloc.
Oh, it absolutely is, and you have articulated it well. These things are really happening, and they're happening in Oregon. They've been happening in Oregon for some time. And thank you for you've hit the nail on the head, and I appreciate your listening and appreciate you holding over the break. Why is the left doing this? Why? What's behind it all? You see, it's not just Trump, folks. Trump is the manifestation, has called them out, and has stood and fought, and they don't like it. Because again, and I go back to this email from this listener, and I'm not going to name the listener because the listener works for the state of Oregon, and I don't want to put him in jeopardy. But they're angry. Why? What's behind it? Why would everything Ann just described of what's happening in Montana and other places, which, by the way, you should know, your tax dollars, I hate to say this, you may not know this, your tax dollars go to pay these folks, these organizations, like this prairie organization she mentioned. They use private money to buy private land, and then they turn around and they sell it back to the federal government, and they make a profit at it. Did you know that? Yeah, it happens. It's happened here in Oregon. It happened just down the road from me some years ago when I was in the legislature and fought it. So why is it that they want to have such control over our lives? Why? And when they cannot control our lives because we stand up and fight for our liberty, they get angry. So what do we do with it? How do we combat that anger and combat the reasons why it exists? Why is it that people want to control our lives? This email says, what should Republicans do with the anger of the regressive totalitarian Marxists and their deep anger and hatred towards anything Trump, to the growing resentment and angry outbursts against traditional morality and Christian values, to the contrived angry responses of Democratic candidates running for the national and state offices, to the angry accusations and violent actions of groups like Antifa? What should Republicans do with the anger? Now, I'm going to state that differently. What should conservatives, people who are freedom-loving Americans, what should we do with that anger? This person continues, says, What we normally end up doing is turning and running with our collective tails between our legs, or we seek to rise above the fray by remaining silent yet dignified so as not to shrink to their level. Or we awkwardly try to engage with energetic counter-arguments focused on the truth, assuming that it is the truth that will convince our angry opponents of the error of their ways. The anger used by the regressive totalitarian Marxists is a prop used to target people's feelings, emotions, and heart. It may not make sense to us, but for people who listen with their feelings and think with their hearts, it makes perfect sense. How can we effectively confront the angry accusations, arguments, and actions of the regressives so that people see through their deceptive yet persuasive tactics? Are we prepared to counter their angry charades so that we can win the hearts of persuadables, so they can embrace constitutional values and support conservative initiatives and candidates? Great question. Let's talk to Rich, who's on the line. Rich, good morning. What do you have to say?
Good morning. You'll never get the change because they're upset because their agenda to take over us and the communist doctrine is not going to happen while Trump's around.
Do you think it ends with Trump is gone?
No. Their agenda is to take over the United States any way they can and be in control. And that's all they're going to do. Their anger is they got derailed from their agenda. And they don't like that. And the deep state is one of the biggest problems that helps make that happen. In the late mid-90s, the president of Czechoslovakia talked to the U.S. House and Senate, and he said, as a good communist, the way we came to power is through the environmental section of the mindset of the people of Czechoslovakia. So I don't see a big difference here.
Well, there isn't. And you've once again appropriately described exactly what's going on. And the effect of it is that you're talking about, we're not going to be able to change the minds of those people who are fully bought in. So let me ask you this. Do you think there are people who are in the middle that we can change their minds?
There may be, but the problem that they go by is that for generations now, we've been taught to go with feelings rather than logic and reality. And as good communists always say, those are mind-numb robots or useful idiots. And they're going to stay that way until they get some knowledge. And usually it doesn't happen. If you look at the history of Communist Party all over the world, they use those mindless idiots to do their bidding until they take over, and then they eliminate them or make them less powerful. Look at Venezuela, perfect coup, so-called semi-bloodless. The same attempt is being done here. There is no such thing as a liberal. It's a communist. That's all it is. They always want power, and they'll take it any way they can get it.
Rich, thanks. Appreciate you listening and calling in today. That's what Rich thinks. What do you think? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. So the regressive totalitarian Marxists that run Oregon use anger, and they also use fear. Now, typically, it's the other way around. Because you don't get angry till you fear something, generally speaking. Maybe not always in every case, but it seems to me that that's kind of how that works. Now, is fear of losing the planet, literally that the planet becomes uninhabitable through the climate change boogie, which has been, again, going as Rich articulated, the communists have been using this for a long time. What do communists do? They control. So if there's a fear that the planet uninhabitable and makes people angry when their agenda to fix that is stalled, back in a moment. Oh,
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour, last segment for today. You know, by the way, I'm not going to watch any of the circus in Washington, D.C. today. I am going to listen with rapt attention, however, whenever this Inspector General's report comes out, because I believe that in it will contain some things that really what you need to be aware of, because I think they are things that you can use to be persuadable. So, by the way, I want to thank our sponsors, Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. You know, last night, and I don't do this every night, but I took some CBD oil under my tongue last night, and I slept great. And I can literally tell you that just about every time I do that, I sleep really well. And that's just one of the benefits that I personally have experienced. Relief from pain. You know, I ding my muscles every now and then, being pretty active and working out. And when I rub on CBD products, it really helps. The pain goes away. And I know it's natural stuff because Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care sells CannaShield. And CannaShield is what is, it's their brand, and it is only sourced, they only buy the basic product from Oregon. And believe me, as a CBD grower, which I am, we have the strongest, almost ridiculously strong rules and regulations we have to comply with here in Oregon. That's good for you. Because, you know, you're not getting garbage filled full of all kinds of other stuff like imported from China, which is exactly what's been happening, by the way. So why don't you go, I mean, if you listen to what I'm sharing with you, which is really true, and you haven't tried some type of CBD product, you ought to go talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. They're right out on South Commercial, South Salem, next to Safeway. Or just visit their website, vimsalem.com, V-I-M, vimsalem.com. So, fear of losing something. You know, Timber Unity exploded because people were, well, a lot of people woke up in the natural resource industry, in the logging industry specifically, but it really expanded beyond that. So those of us who are ranching and farming exploded all on its own because people figured out that something they loved, which is their way of life, their communities, were going to literally be threatened by politicians making bad decisions. Now, those politicians have basically bought into... Look, a lot of these politicians, these Democrats that are voting in favor, did vote in favor in the House of cap and trade, do not believe that they are doing this to control your life. They're deceived. What they are doing is they have bought into the effect or the belief level that we really do. We as human beings are polluting the earth and we are changing its environment. And unless we start doing something now, even though what we would do in Oregon would have zero impact across the world, they have to do something about it. And then there's those that are just crass politicians and are worried about getting reelected and know that these folks are active and so forth. My point to you is that they are either manipulating you or they're being manipulated. And therein lies one of the ways that you can respond to the people who are influenced by anger. Now, when Antifa's out there rioting and taking over intersections and the cops are letting them do it because they've been told by the mayor of Portland, you got to stand down. And that's exactly what happened. That's not good for their side. That's not how you persuade people. But it is something that you can use in persuasive conversation with the persuadables. How can that be right? How can it be right to destroy people's property? It's one of the ways that you can open up a conversation, if that happens. And believe me, it will happen again. But here's even something that's more important. When people are thinking that maybe these ideas of cap and trade are good policy because, you know, maybe we are polluting our world. Yes, can we pollute our world? Absolutely. But is carbon and greenhouse gases pollution? You know, one of the things that I have used to be persuasive is to tell a story. Stories are always persuadable because people know that stories come from personal experience, typically. Here's a story that I tell. I said, you know, I used to kind of believe in that global warming thing until I began doing a little reading. And one of the things that I did is I read about how retreating glaciers in the Italian Swiss Alps have exposed Roman lead mines. And in my lightning quick mind, I figured out that, you mean the earth was warm enough in previous times that the Romans could go high into the Alps of Italy and mine lead, which they used. And then it froze over? That was long before we as human beings were burning a lot of coal and driving SUVs and flying airplanes around the world. So if the earth has done this before, can mankind, does mankind really, really have that impact? Is a lot of what we're hearing, has it been disproven? Sort of like these, well, basically every computer model that has predicted ocean rise and temperature rise has missed it because they're computer models. Or the hockey stick graph used by the UN's IPCC that was discredited because we figured out that they manipulated the data. Or the emails apparently uncovered by the Russians that were leaked that these same scientists talked about amongst themselves manipulating the data. When you, if you want to answer angry people, you don't respond in kind. And in fact, you don't let them push you around. We stand up and we organize politically with groups like Timber Unity. And we stand firm for what we believe because their anger is not the same as ours, folks. And then we use arguments in the process of standing up to persuade the persuadables. And you make arguments based on telling stories, like the one I just told you. Now, there's a lot more to this, and we'll get into it. You know what? One show just doesn't do it enough justice. Because there really is a lot more. So how do we deal with their anger? And we're going to get into it probably tomorrow and a lot more. Well, thanks for listening today, friends. Get out there. Make it a great day. It's really up to you, you know. Be blessed. See you tomorrow. Yeah.